There's a pastor up in Suffolk. He's retired now, but he used to stand on the door whenever people would come into the church, and he would say, "How are you?" And they would say, "Yes, I'm fine, thanks." This is how it would go on, you see. Yes, everybody walked through the door. Everybody was okay. So he decided that he would change tactics. This is how the conversation went. How are you? I'm fine, thanks. Yes, I'm Robin, thanks. This is just how it went on, you see. He said that he was Robin, but everybody said that they were fine and just sort of nodded and happily walked through without really listening to anything that he said. And he just said that we need to be more authentic. Well, I've had a rotten week, I don't know about you. It's been a really difficult week. But it's been good to come into this place this morning, to meet with God's people, and to be reminded of God's covenant, to be reminded of God's faithful promises, indeed to be reminded that our God is a faithful God. We need to be reminded, don't we, of these things. Well, let me encourage you to turn with me to Luke and to chapter 6. Luke and chapter 6. And we're going to start reading from verse 17. Luke chapter 6, starting to read at verse 17 in the New International Version. The heading is Blessings and Woes. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." We thank God for the reading of his word. Let's just pray briefly. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word, and we pray that you would give us understanding of it this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 16, we read the story of Paul and Silas and how they were arrested in the city of Philippi. They were accused of causing an uproar, and to cut a reasonably long story short, they were flogged or beaten and put into prison. And yet it's an amazing story, because they could be heard at night praying to God and singing hymns. They were in pain, yet they were singing. Now, in a sense, I think that sums up the Christian experience. You see, as Christians, we weep and endure pain. And yet at the same time, we rejoice, because we know that we are blessed beyond all measure by God. This morning we're going to continue looking at these blessings and woes in Luke in chapter 6. Last week we said that the blessings are meant to console and encourage the disciple of Jesus, whereas the woes are meant to challenge and warn those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus. Once again, we're going to be referring to the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew in order to help us to understand better what Jesus is saying. Last week we looked at the first two blessings and their counterpart woes. This week we're going to look at the last two blessings and their counterpart woes. So it's all fairly straightforward. But let's begin by looking at verse 21, where it says, well, the latter part of verse 21, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Firstly, blessed are the weepers. In Matthew's Gospel, we see that the weepers are mourners. Blessed are those who mourn. The question is, why do the disciples of Jesus weep or mourn? It sounds as if the disciples of Jesus are those of a lifelong funeral. Why do they weep? Well, they weep or they mourn over their sin, which they know dishonors their Creator and their Redeemer. I think King David in the Old Testament demonstrates this kind of weeping to us. We know the story. I'm sure David had committed adultery with a woman by the name of Bathsheba. He had also seen to it that her husband, Uriah the Hittite, was put to death. He sinned greatly against individuals, but ultimately he recognized that he had sinned against his God. "Against you, you only have I sinned," he said. And he felt the awfulness of his sin before God. The Apostle Paul expresses this kind of feeling as he writes to the church at Rome. He says this, "Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! He will rescue me from this body that is subject to death." The disciple of Jesus, he feels keenly his sin before a holy God. Now, of course, as Christians, we have been forgiven by God for our sin. We've been forgiven for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins, fully and freely forgiven. And of course it was Jesus' death on the cross that satisfied God's justice and made it possible for us to be wonderfully forgiven. As believers, we have been pronounced not guilty by the judge of all the earth. And thus there is a sense of comfort that we know now. However, although we know the forgiveness of sins, we still, I would argue, weep and mourn. Not because we're afraid of being judged for our sins. We know that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because such sins dishonor the Lord whom we love and seek to serve. We weep, however, we are blessed. Why are we blessed? Well, because one day we know that we're going to be set free from the presence of sin once and for all. God will complete the work of redemption that He has begun within us. For the time being, we grow. That's the way Paul puts it in Romans and chapter 8. Yes, we groan as we wait for our final redemption. When, of course, we shall laugh. Listen to what we read in the book of Revelation. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We weep, we mourn over the presence of sin as we grow or as we long for our final redemption. When, of course, we will laugh. Now, someone might say this morning, but I would want to argue that the chief characteristic of the Christian is joy. Well, I'm not sure that I would want to necessarily argue with that. Surely we experience both. We know the joy of sins forgiven, peace with God, and the certain hope of heaven, but at the same time we grieve, we mourn, we lament over our sins, and we feel the pain of that. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. But verse 25 B, well, the latter part of verse 25, woe to those who laugh. Woe to those who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Now, if we read this verse without thinking carefully about it, perhaps looking to Matthew's Gospel for help, as well as the rest of the New Testament for help, we may find ourselves getting into all kinds of difficulties. Woe to those who laugh. Are we allowed to laugh? Is it a good thing to laugh? Don't we enjoy laughing as Christians? I enjoy having a laugh. In fact, I try to have a laugh every day if I can. Is there something wrong with laughing? We might do this, mightn't we, if we isolate this verse of Scripture from everything else in Scripture. I don't think it's wrong to laugh. In fact, the Bible positively encourages laughing. Indeed, the writer of Ecclesiastes says that there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So what is being said here? Well, Jesus is referring, isn't he, to those who don't weep or mourn over their sin. Those who don't feel the pain of their sin before the God who created them. He's referring to those who view the idea of sin as being a bit of a joke, a bit of a laugh. Woe, says Jesus, to such. One day the tables will be turned and they will weep. And more. Some translations use the word lament. Listen to what we read in Isaiah 64 and verse 14. Here the context is judgment of unbelievers and salvation of believers. My servants will sing out for joy in their hearts, but you will cry out from anguish of heart and wail in brokenness of spirit. Listen to what it says in Luke 13 and verse 28. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. So blessed then are those who weep, but woe to those who laugh. Thirdly this morning, blessed are those who are persecuted. And let me just read verses 22 and 23 to you. Blessed are you when men hate you when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. I wonder whether we find it difficult to get our heads around this idea of being blessed by God when we are persecuted. And yet, that is the teaching, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus here? Indeed, it's the teaching of the New Testament. And I'm sure that we need, as believers, to work harder at taking on board the mindset of the Lord Jesus. Well, as we look at this beatitude, let's begin by thinking about how the world, this fallen world, treated the Lord Jesus. How did they treat him? Well, they called him a Samaritan, a half-breed. That may not sound too bad to us, but actually it was a really nasty way of speaking. It was a derogatory term. He was accused of having a demon. He was accused of being a law breaker. We've seen that, haven't we, as we've begun to look at Luke's gospel. He was accused of allowing his disciples to pick ears of corn as they walked through the fields on the Sabbath day. He was accused of healing a man on the Sabbath day. As we know, Jesus was despised, rejected, falsely accused, flogged, spat upon, mocked, and crucified. No one was more righteous than him. And yet this is the way that he was treated. And the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that his disciples can expect to be treated in the same manner. Jesus said to his disciples, John 15 and verse 20, "Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also." These are the words of Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And as we begin to read the New Testament, we see, don't we, that the disciples of Jesus were persecuted, were ill-treated, just as he was. And it's not long into the book of Acts that tells us the story of the early church that we see Saul of Tarsus doing his utmost to try and destroy the church of Jesus Christ, putting Christ's disciples into prison, approving of their deaths. We see the disciples of Jesus being excluded from the synagogues and being insulted and rejected. In fact, we see this kind of thing happening even during the 3 years that Jesus was living upon the earth. Think of John chapter 9, of the man that was born blind. There he was before the religious authorities, testifying to the goodness of Jesus, unwilling to budge, insisting on telling his story about the goodness or the kindness of the Lord Jesus. What happens to him? He's insulted and he's thrown out of the synagogue. The disciples of Jesus were persecuted, and yet, says Jesus, you're blessed. You should be able to leap for joy. Why should they be able to leap for joy? Well, because verse 23, great was their reward in heaven. Listen to what we're taught in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. It's interesting, isn't it? is those who identify themselves with the Lord Jesus and share in his sufferings to one degree or another, that will share in his glory. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, we read this: if we endure, that is in the midst of the suffering and the pain brought upon us because of our identification with the Son of Man, we will also reign with him. We'll be caught in this sort of strange situation in the Western world for quite a number of years now, largely free from persecution. That is not the normal lot for the Christian. The normal lot for the Christian is persecution. And when we are persecuted, it is one evidence amongst many that we are true disciples of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Some time ago, I think I've shared this story with some of you at least before, I was listening to the testimony of a pastor in America. He was a faithful pastor. His church was a Bible-believing church that loved the gospel. But they were part of a denomination that was no longer committed to the Bible, no longer committed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And there were a number of issues that came up that meant that this pastor and his congregation felt that they needed to pull out of the denomination. Well, the outcome was that the denomination said, in that case, we'll have your church building, and we'll have your pastor's house, and we'll have all of your financial resources. Well, that was obviously a very painful and difficult experience for the church. This pastor was interviewed, and there were those who said, well, how do you feel about this? He said, well, obviously it's painful, but in a sense we rejoice, because by being persecuted in this way, we feel as if we really are Christians. That we are those who truly belong to the Lord Jesus, because this is the kind of treatment that the Bible says that Christians can expect to meet with. Yes, painful, but actually, in a sense, joyful. But fourthly, woe to the well spoken of. Verse 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. Well, that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Now, admittedly, believers are sometimes spoken well of. Local churches like ourselves but perform ministries within the context of their community, and such ministries are appreciated by the local community. We have heard people in this village express their appreciation for some of the ministries that we perform within this village. However, a lot of the time, disciples of Jesus are mocked, slandered, and despised, as we have seen. I think Jeremiah, the prophet of old, is the classic Old Testament example of this. Now, he spoke, didn't he, the truth that God told him to speak. He impressed upon a wicked people that they need to repent, or else God was going to bring his judgments upon them when he was hated for it. And there were those who did all that they possibly could in order to try to silence him. It's unbelievers that tend to be well spoken of. Why? Well, because they are always endeavoring to fit in with the prevailing culture. Or the standards of this world. They are those who seek popularity and acceptance, even if it means denying the truth of God. And Christian young people at school and college know this all too well. So do those that are at work. So do those living in countries where the authorities are particularly hostile towards Christians. Those that were spoken well of in the Old Testament were the bad prophets. Those who spoke lies. Those who said there was peace when there was no peace. Of course, the people like them. People always like prosperity teachers. People like prosperity preachers and teachers today. Those who offer health and well, but not the preacher who tells them that they are sinners in need of God's forgiveness. When Jesus, the light of the world, came into this world, the darkness hated the light. Well, by virtue of our relationship to Jesus, we too are the light. We can expect the darkness to hate us. Woe then to the well-spoken lot. Indeed, the words of the Lord Jesus will one day be to them, "Away from me, you evildoers." Blessed are those who weep. Woe to those who mourn. Blessed are the persecuted, woe to those well spoken of. You know, as I've read these words over the course of this week, I've been reminded that it can be a very painful thing to be a Christian. Sometimes we don't always warn people, but the Christian life is not easy when we preach the gospel to them, but it is difficult and it is painful. It involves weeping or mourning over one's sin. And the more we grow as Christians, the more like Christ we become, the more of our sinfulness we become aware. The greater pain we feel. The Christian life, as we've been saying, also involves being persecuted to one degree or another. It involves being the odd one out, perhaps at school or at college or at work. It involves being laughed at, perhaps avoided or overlooked for one reason or another. And in many countries around the world today, I don't think that's an exaggeration. Not just a boo. In many countries around the world today, Christians may find themselves out of work or at best only able to get the worst jobs. They face imprisonment. In some places in Africa, they even face death by means of a crucifix. Some of you I know follow with great interest what's going on amongst Christians around the world that are persecuted. And you could tell of many horrific stories. But Jesus would comfort all of his disciples
with these words. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will one day laugh. Yes, we feel the pain of the presence of sin now, but one day that's going to be gone. Our joy is going to be inexpressible. There's going to come a day when we will laugh, as Jesus puts it. And I think, as believers, we need to have that eternal perspective on life. There is a danger that we tend to focus on the here and now. But it's end of the day and glory tomorrow. Jesus would comfort us also with these words: blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. You know, sometimes we look, don't we, at our non-Christian friends, and they seem to have it all so good. Their lives seem to be so easy. They fit in so nicely with the world. Let's stop and consider what Jesus is saying here this morning. See, what do they have in reality compared with what we have? Great is our reward in heaven. All the troubles and difficulties of life, we must surely maintain an eternal perspective. I want to challenge us, as well as encourage us this morning, to have that eternal perspective. Remember, pain today, glory tomorrow. If we didn't have that perspective, we would despair, wouldn't we? Now we would be overcome. Now we would give up. Now, but it is all because of what is promised to us. That we persevere, that we keep going, that we march on, knowing that God's will for us ultimately is to bless us and to do us good. Let's pray together. Lord, as Christians, we sometimes feel the pain of our sin before you. Lord, you have been so merciful to us, so good to us, so gracious towards us. Send the Lord Jesus into the world to die upon the cross in order that we might be forgiven. Why do we keep on failing you? Why do we keep on getting it wrong? Yet we do. Lord, we look forward to that day when we will be free from the presence of sin. No longer will we think bad thoughts. No longer will things come out of our mouths that we regret. No longer will we do those things, act in those ways that displease you. We grow. We're like creation at large, longing for its redemption. Yes, we weep now, but we look forward to that day when we shall laugh without end. Lord, we don't live in Korea, North Korea, or China, or other parts of the world where Christians are so badly treated. But we know what it is, Lord, to be laughed at, be thought of as odd, to have our message, which we love and hold dear, ridiculed. We know how difficult it is to make a stand for you, for your truth in this world in which we are living. We thank you that we are blessed. Lord, our persecution is evidence that
that we belong to you, and that we are those who shall one day enter into the glory itself. Help us to persevere. Help us to keep going. Help us to be faithful. Help us to consider it a joy. Yes, even a joy to suffer for Christ's sake. Lord, thinking like this is contrary to the way that we tend to naturally think, but it would seem that the disciples of old, or the disciples in New Testament times, understood this clearly. We pray that we might have the mindset of Paul and Silas in prison all those years ago, suffering yet rejoicing, counting it a great privilege to suffer for Christ's name's sake. Oh Lord, teach us from your word, we pray this day, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, and sing.